Good morning. I want to start out saying thank you as well for the offering this morning. God is faithful. God has always been faithful, and God always will be faithful. As I sat here last Sunday, and I really don't even know what Tyler, honestly, I'm not sure what Tyler said, but while he was talking, there was a word that popped into my mind that stuck with my mind just kind of all through the service, started into the week. That word was consumed. I went into the week thinking, what's this word mean? Where am I? What am I consumed with? What are you consumed with? And then for my Bible reading, it was in Numbers. And if y'all know what Numbers, Exodus and Numbers is about. It's the children of Israel. And I listened as I drove. I listened through Exodus and into Numbers and up through Numbers and about the children of Israel. And I started asking myself, what were they consumed with? How different are they than me? Or how much alike am I to them? We all know the complainings that the children of Israel did. But if we back up, to Jacob understood who God was. Jacob wrestled. He would not let go of God until he received a blessing. And by Joseph's life, we know that he passed that on. He passed on to Joseph the importance of God, who God is, the promise God had given to them, to their generation. Because we know at about 17 years old, somewhere right around the age of 17 years old, Joseph was carried into Egypt and sold as a slave. And shortly after that, he was put to the test to whether he was going to stand up for right or not, and he stood up for right. And that got him thrown into prison. And from about 17 years old to 30 years old, Joseph sat in prison for doing what was right. Joseph, on the way we would look at it, we would say Joseph would have every right to be bitter, upset towards his brothers, towards the Egyptians, towards anyone. And yet, as it goes later on into Joseph's life, we see how Joseph was not bitter. And we all know the story how Joseph, when the years of plenty were in Egypt, how he headed all that up. And then when it came time that his family was running out of food and his brothers came, he told his brothers, I don't hold any grudge. He said, God allowed this for me to save my people. Joseph didn't hold bitter feelings towards his brother. He understood where God had him, and God had him here for a reason. So what happened? About 400 years later, to the end of Exodus and into Numbers, is the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. What happened? What would have happened if I was in their situation, or you were in their situation? They had about 400 years that they worked in Egypt under the Egyptian, or under Pharaoh. And it started out, as I thought about it, and them living in Egypt, how much like of America it is today. They were taskmasters, or they until it was the later part when they cried out to God and God delivered them out of Egypt, they were being put. They were under taskmasters. They were in bondage. But for the first part, they were well taken care of. They had plenty. And you even see that after they started and after they left Egypt, they kept remembering the plenty, the amount that they had. They thought they'd think back to Egypt and they'd talk about the food. They'd talk about, you know, we had all this in Egypt, so why did we take out? Why did we leave? going to go down through there was 11 times that the children of Israel grumbled. The first of them was in Exodus 5 before they even left when Moses came. And God sent Moses to bring them out, and they complained because the work got harder. Then again in Exodus 14 at the crossing of the Red Sea, they complained that Moses had brought them there to die because it looked like the Egyptians were going to catch up with them and they were going to die by the Red Sea. Then again in Exodus 15:22, the water was bitter and they complained how they were going to drink and what they were to drink. Here God promised them that if they would follow and listen to God, He would not inflict the disease that He put on the Egyptians. Then again in Exodus, this is number 4, Exodus 16:1-4, they were hungry and they grumbled because they had nothing to eat. And God gave them manna. Then again, the next one, number 5, was in Exodus 17:1-4. Once again, they were thirsty. And they, at this point, this is where Moses struck the stone. And then again, number 6, they complained, in Numbers 11:1, they complained about their misfortunes, to which this and the fire of God burned on the outside of the camp, and some of those lost their lives. Number 7, Numbers 11:1-35, right after that they complained about food again. They wanted meat, and they had no meat. Numbers 12:1-12 is where Aaron and Miriam complained about Moses and his leadership. This is where Miriam got leprosy and was put out of the camp for 7 days because she had complained about the one that God had put in place to lead. Again, in Numbers, the 9th one, Numbers 14:1-10, they complained about the number of people, Canaan looking too many. This was right after the spies had got into the land of Canaan, and they came back. And they looked, the people looked so many, looked like there was too many for them to go into the land of Canaan. And they complained about that. And then in Numbers 16:41, they complained, blaming Moses for killing the people. This fell right on the heels of the leaders that rebelled against Moses, and God opened up the ground and swallowed a bunch of them. And then right after, it was the next day that the people complained, blaming Moses and Aaron, or blaming Moses. And for that, 14,700 people died. Numbers 20, verse 1-5, people grumbled again about no water. They said they wished they had perished. They said, had we just perished with our brothers, and ask again why Moses brought them out of Egypt. And this is when Moses struck the rock. And the final one was Numbers 21, verse 4-5. They complained about God and Moses. It says they became impatient in the way. And again, they complained about food and water, saying, we loathe this worthless food. And this is where God sent the fiery serpents. And then Moses made a serpent, and when they looked upon him, they were saved. So what happened? Does the same thing happen to us? As I thought about the children of Israel back in Egypt, and everything that they had, and they had their idea of how God was going to deliver them. He was going to take them to land filled with milk and honey, and here they were, wandering in the wilderness. Instead of looking at trusting God and looking at God and His faithfulness, they were looking at how they expected and what they thought, and how God's plan would work for them, and how God would bring them out. Same way today, earthly focus has its pulls on each one of our lives as well. We live in a society that has things pretty nice, and yet, like Jesse was talking this morning, Yet you look at what all, they keep taking God. They keep taking God out of everything. We need to trust God. We need to allow God to move and trust Him, knowing He knows what He is doing. In Matthew 6, 31 to 33, it says, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Philippians 3, verse 8 and 9 says, "I count everything loss because surpassing worth of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake I have suffered the loss of things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." There was a story that I heard this week, and I actually went back to it and listened to it a couple of times. It was a story told by Letty about her husband Charles in the early 1900s. Her husband was a telegraph operator, young, expiring manager of an office with a great future. She says, "We were riding in a streetcar through Chicago and saw a sign at a church that said Missionary Conference. She said, 'We made the mistake of going.' The place was packed and there was an unusual sense of presence of God. And at the close, Simpson, instead of an invitation, took an offering. As the offering plate was passed us, she said, I watched to my shock as Charles pulled out his 2-week paycheck he had received that day and dropped it in the offering plate. With panic, I thought, there goes the food money for the next 2 weeks. When the offering was taken up, Dr. Simpson came back to the pulpit and said, 'God is here. We must take another offering.' Dr. Simpson said, 'I would be interested in knowing how many ladies and men would be interested in giving their rings and jewelry that they had to use, their rings and any jewelry they had to use to reach the world.' As the plate came past, Charles reached over, pulled off my diamond ring, and dropped it in the plate. I said, 'That's my diamond ring,' but it was gone. The offering was received, and Dr. Simpson came back to the pulpit and said, 'God is here. We must take another offering.' There are some of you men out there that have gold watches. We have steel ones that will work just as well. We will exchange them if you will give us your gold." So the plate was passed. As he took out and dropped the gold watch that he used at the telegraph office to keep time with, I remembered how many months we saved to buy that exquisite timepiece, but it was gone. Dr. Simpson came back to the pulpit and said, "God is here. We must take another offering. There are some people who should give their lives," and gave an invitation for people to come forward. She said, "My husband arose and went forward." She said, "Not on conviction of my own, but my promise and responsibility to follow him, I went forward." Do you know the largest Protestant seminary in Japan today is a result of that? There is also a seminary in Seoul, Korea with 1,600 students as a result of that. Are we willing to open our hand and let God have everything? We must be willing to give up our lives and give up it all. Sometimes we seem to think that God is out here to hurt us, or God is out here to take everything good away. God has not asked us to go through anything that He hasn't gone through Himself. Jesus came. He was tempted like you and I. He suffered. He gave His life. The peace and joy that we seek, we have our ideas. We think we know where that peace and that joy and how it comes. But where we truly find that is when we give ourselves up everything and trust God, knowing that He is perfect in justice, mercy, and love. And when I lay everything down, that's where we find that true peace and joy. This morning, I was going to read Psalm 136, and I'm going to end with Psalm 136. It was funny, Kevin got up, and I looked over at Janice, and I said, "Well, there goes my scripture." She said, "Repetition is good." So, I had decided if I was going to read it at the beginning or at the end. So I said, "Well, Kevin started with it at the beginning, and I'm going to end the service by reading Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever, forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck out in great kings, for his steadfast love endured forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever, and gave their land as an heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever, ever. A heritage to Israel his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. This week, may we reflect over and over again and God's goodness, his faithfulness, and his steadfast love. May we allow him to come in and take every part of our life and use it in whatever way he says best, trusting that he knows and he has exactly in mind to do what is best for each one of us. Brian, do you have a song? You can stand. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you again this morning for your steadfast love. God, we saw it in the creation. We saw it in the children of Israel. We saw it all through Scripture, and we see it today. And God, we thank you for your love to us. And God, this week, as we go through this week, we just ask you that you would use each one of us in the way that you see best, that would glorify your name, and that would bring about what is best for us, and that would complete your plan that you have in our lives. Help us to look to you for strength and to remain strong. And God, I just thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.